News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The UK Online Safety Minister has said he's concerned that the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland will present issues for the UK's upcoming social media ban for under 16s. The idea being that if you have one cohort of teenagers or preteens living in Lifford and another in Strabane, you have one cohort in Uri and another in Omeath, they end up being in effectively the same peer group, possibly in some cases the same families, but living very different online lives. Alwyn Moran is with us. She's neurodevelopmental therapist and founder of Cogni Kids. Alwyn, how much of a challenge is that going to be?
Hi, Anton. Yeah, I mean, that is a significant challenge, all right, you know, where you've got potentially, as you said, two kids growing up in the same house, but having a very different digital childhood at the moment. But, you know, there is a little air of positivity. You know, Ireland takes over the EU presidency on the 1st of July, and the Taoiseach has indicated that, you know, when this happens, that they'll follow along with the UK ban, which would be great. But
will
also,
it though? Because is it all a bit of a moot point? Research from Australia shows that effectively nothing has happened in large part.
Well, so, I mean, it's not that nothing has happened. It's just that the ban in itself isn't a kind of like a...
working.
Exactly. the almighty answer that we're all hoping for. It really isn't. And to be honest, that's actually why, you know, Ireland paused putting the ban on. I mean, I am frustrated that they haven't put the ban on and that they're dragging their heels on this from a developmental and a neurodevelopmental perspective. But, you know, we need to start to take action at some point. So a ban
to put numbers on the facetiousness, the Australia, since the ban has come in, they've done a report that says that 70% of children who theoretically are in the banned cohort, although the ban obviously applying to the providers rather than the users, they still continue to have social media accounts. That is largely
there's a workaround.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a workaround, all right. However, you know, I mean, if we look at that in the same way of, you know, kind of like putting age limits on access to alcohol, you know, we can't just remove them because we know that some teens actually still get access to alcohol before they're 18. We have to genuinely start somewhere and then look at things that are causing the real problem, which is, you know, the addictive behaviors as well. And, you know, these algorithms and the suggestions and the for yous and things like that, which keep children and adults all engaged and locked in on what they're actually doing.
To some extent, they're the negative consequence of social media. The positive consequence is that it gives people scope to connect and to interact and to network. Now, if you take the Northern Ireland example, then what happens if one cohort of teens and preteens are able to communicate and socialize and interact using these services, when straight across the border, their friends then are blanked to them?
Yeah, and we have to, you know, I mean, to be honest, we have to put in those support systems, those accesses, you know, allow our kids to live life offline. That's the key thing is, you know, we need to give them a balanced childhood now where they can actually have systems, groups and things like that, where there's more of a focus to have a life offline. But also, you know, yes, they do provide the positively for groups where they do feel marginalized and things like that. However, the data also supports that our teens across the board feel, even though they're more connected, feel more isolated than any other teen cohort before them. It's not a one-stop shop. It's not the one fix either. You know, just by saying, oh, well, we'll just let teens have access to social media. That doesn't solve that problem. What we actually need to do is look at the teens that do feel isolated, you know, and why and how can we interrupt that and where can we give them the supports and access to other teens who are feeling the same or who are experiencing the same difficulties or challenges as they're going through their, you know, their development.
And what's your prediction in relation to the actual application of all this when it comes to Northern Ireland? Will an awful lot of Northern Ireland teenagers simply go find VPNs and get on with their lives?
It seems to be, that seems to be the big thing in Australia, VPNs. You know, but look, we have the, I mean, back when the Good Friday Agreement was put in, they put together a council, the North-South Ministerial Council, which exists precisely for this kind of an issue. So where the North and South can work together to figure out how they can actually go forward. So I think this is a really important piece. But again, a ban, as I keep saying, isn't just the one fix that we think it will be. We really do need to take a very hard look at our digital kind of environment, how we're bringing up children in the digital environment. And also, you know, like looking at families, already families, both sides of the border have started a really practical, strong movement called Smartphone Free Childhood.
All right.
And that is, you know, kind of like they don't need legislation.
Okay.
Legislation, when it exists, helps to make things easier to use as a stepping stone to implement other things. So, Alwyn, you know, yep.
Thank you. Time is against us. Alwyn Moran there, neurodevelopmental therapist and founder of CogniKids.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.